Boy, it's a beautiful psalm. It's written by Asaph. Well, it's according to who you read. I was reading a sermon one day on Psalms chapter 73, and the guy kept talking about how David wrote this song, and David did this, and David did that, and everybody knows it's a psalm of Asaph, but there are some people who believe David wrote the song and Asaph sang it. He wrote it for Asaph to sing. If you'll study your Bible a little bit, I'm not going to try to prove it tonight. If you're interested, I'd have to look up a couple of verses. But Asaph clearly wrote some songs, and I believe, historically speaking, that you can't dispute the fact that this is a song of Asaph. You know, does it really matter who wrote it? Really doesn't matter. Because the truths are there for whether David wrote it or Asaph wrote it. And I just want to read tonight, I want to read verses 2 and 3. We're going to look at many verses here tonight, and we're not going to go through all of them. It would be too long for that. But the Bible says in verse number 2, as Asaph, I think, is writing, says, "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had not well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph is telling us of an experience that he had gone through, and whatever it was he went through, he doesn't tell us. I believe a lot of times God doesn't tell us the horrible events that happen, because then we would get caught up in what? The event. The event isn't important. What Asaph learned through that event is important. And so he had passed through this experience, and let me tell you something. Every born-again child of God who's living for God, you're going to pass through some events and things of your life that you're going to be like Asaph, and you're going to say, my feet had well nigh slipped. I was at the point of slipping. I was at the point of quitting. I was at the point of falling. But we know that's not what, but God wants us to gather strength. Listen, when going through these experiences of life, what do you normally do when something bad starts happening to you? What do you normally do? Well, that's what you should do, but that's normally not where we go first. Yeah, we grumble, we complain, and we start looking around, see how well it's going for everybody else, don't we? We could do that. But one of the things we do is we start blaming other people for the things that they have been through, you know? And we start looking around, especially when, how many of you get aggravated sometimes when you see a really, really wicked person prospering? I mean, doesn't that just, why is this happening? You know? Everything they touch turns to gold, you know. I mean, for a nickel, you could just, sometimes you even wonder, God, what are you doing? Well, Asaph was a very spiritual man. We'll see, he had that problem also. And so here's what happens if you're not careful. And as a matter of fact, some people have heard the stories, heard some of the statements I'm going to make in a couple of times. Many of us have been in that place. And if we've been in that place, we've either said this, and if we've not said it, we probably thought it. But we have heard it say, it just doesn't pay to be honest. You ever heard that? So let's all go be crooks. How about this? It doesn't pay to live right and live for God. Is that a true statement? Does it appear that way sometimes? It does appear that way sometimes. What happens when we feel that way? What happens when we feel that way? Is we've gotten our eyes on the wrong thing. Listen, I know preachers who lie and cheat. I knew a preacher one time that wrote to several preachers, big name preachers and church, bigger churches and stuff, and told them how bad their church was doing and wanted to know could they help out financially. They sent money back to the church. He got the checks cashed and kept the money himself. And I'm like, you know what I'd do if I was God? I'd kill him. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's right. You know. And he ended up leaving because things didn't go the way he wanted to. End up leaving, and the next pastor who came in found copies of the letters that he had mailed off to the people, and then he made contact and apologized for all of that. Listen. So what happens is we get going there, and then the next thing that'll happen when you start looking around, and we're going to look at some things. Let's just have a word of prayer, and we'll look at what he was thinking about the wicked and stuff. Father, I pray as we come together today, Lord, I pray this would be a blessing and a help. I pray people would realize this is a great psalm to know about this psalm, maybe not memorize the whole psalm, it's rather lengthy, but to know where it is. And Father, when we feel like slipping, this would be a good psalm for us to go to, Lord, because this psalm helps us in that time of our life. And I pray you just bless us tonight, watch over us. I pray everything that's said and done would glorify you and lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. He said he was at that place, and then he said he was mentioning some things, and he said he was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I'm just picked out some of them. I'm not going to go with all of them. But notice what he says in verse number 5. They are not in trouble as other men. How come they never get in trouble? How come they do all the things wrong and nothing ever happens to them? How come they're not in jail? How come everybody thinks highly of them, you know? Why aren't they? Listen, the Bible says, neither are they plagued like other men. The Bible says this in verse number 17, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. Any of you know anybody that anything they want, they got? You know, I know I've met a few people like that before in my life, and most of the time, anybody who can have whatever they want normally isn't living for God, because if they are, they don't have a lot of wants. They do have some and stuff. But he says they just have whatever their heart could wish for. He says this in verse number 9, they set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. They talk bad about the things. Listen, the man who just died, and I know his name, but the scientist who just died and some of the horrible things that he said about God. And you watch on television, and Joy Behr especially recently has come up with some of the horrible, wicked things that she has said about Christians. And, you know, listen, why don't they admit everybody who says they're a Christian is not a Christian? I mean, are there some wicked people out there who claim some horrible things, but they'll defend every Islamic person on the face of the earth, you know? And one person goes out and says he's a Christian and do something stupid, rather than doubt their Christianity, at least admit that this is not what Christ wants them to do. They just set their mouths against the heavens and their tongues against the earth, and they talk bad about people who are trying to live for God, you know? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increased in riches. And I mean, they do. They just keep getting richer and richer and richer. I did not keep up with the Democratic election, but the man who won on the Democrat side for Republican paid for his own. He paid it all. He's a billionaire. And he sunk $50 million into an election. Why would you think? You know how many years he'd have to become a governor to make $50 million? He may have. $60 million. But he can only serve 8 years. Do you know in 8 years he will not make anywhere near legally? $60 million. How many of you think he'll get his money back? How many of you think he'll get more than his money back? Yeah. I mean, you look at this crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely. Look, I don't know if you keep up with what's going on, but James Comey, the FBI director that made a boondoggle of the FBI during the election, and I mean, some of the stupid things he was doing, his book came out. I wouldn't walk across the street to read a book like that, but it came out day number one, and guess what? Bestseller list. Hit the bestseller list right after that. He's going to make a ton of money going out giving speeches and all this. Why would you want to listen to somebody who did all that crazy? I mean, he's the one who indicted or said he had an investigation of Hillary and then canceled the investigation and then started the investigation again. And it was just absolutely crazy. But, you know, he's going to make a ton of money on these things. And so you see all this wicked stuff happening. And then what'll happen if you're not careful? You know where you'll end up now? You'll end up where Asaph ended up. Listen to what he said. I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. You know what he's doing? You know what he's having? He's having him a full-fledged 100% pity party. I've met people who have pity parties. Listen, I could have one today. I want to go on the record of having one, but you know, I try to have them with a good spirit anyway, all right? But I've had people, and I mean, I've had people call me and they start in on that mess. They start in on it, and I say, hold on, wait a minute. And they said, what? I said, you are inviting me to a pity party and I'm not coming. I'm not having a pity party. Yes, you're having a pity party. I've never known one that turned out well. People don't leave having fun. Nobody gets a present. They don't have any cake. There's no ice cream. There's nothing good about it. Here's what happens, man. You walk along, you're stepping and singing zippity-doo-dah. You can't sing that song. You know that, right? Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Y'all know you can't sing that because it was in Song of the South, and that's a racist movie. You can't sing that. So, you know. But you're having a great day. You run into somebody at the pity party, and guess what will be happening to you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, you'll be down on the ground with them singing Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me right there with them, you know. I mean, look, you think you got it bad? Let me tell you what's happening to me is where you'll be if you're not careful. And so he started to have the pity party. Notice what he says in verse number 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me.
I don't even want to think about it. It's all so bad. God, you don't know what I'm going through down here.
Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You'll not understand God knows exactly what you're going through. You know, I was read an article, I read something recently and said, do you know if you got saved and everything in your life ended up perfectly because you were living for God, how many think people would live for God if everything went perfect? It would almost be like God paid you to do right. Does God want you to do right because you get something from it? Does God want you to love Him because of what you give from it? He just wants you to love Him. Listen, if it wasn't for these bad things in life, there is absolutely no way for you to prove you love Him in the good times. The only way you can prove you love Him is in the bad times. When you stick with Him when things are going bad, that is how you prove your love to the Lord. And he came to the pity party, and it just kept getting worse and worse. But then he says in verse number 17, there's a change. Here's the change. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. People, listen, I talk to people on a regular basis. I talk to people who I believe are saved on a regular basis and say, preacher, I'm struggling. What do I need to do? Keep doing what you know you need to do. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep giving. Try to be soul winning. Talking to people about the Lord. And number five, be faithful. Let me tell you, you need church more when your foot is almost asleep than you've ever needed it in your life. What did King David say? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's almost like people feel like they have to come. I learned a long time ago, you know what? You can't make people come. You can't convince people to come. You can ask them and they'll tell you, I'll be there. Won't they, Benny? I will be there. And then you wait and listen. I remember when I first started living for the Lord in 1987, I would invite people to come and they were going to come to church the next morning, and I would go to church more excited than I ever was. Listen, I just like being there, but I would be more excited than I ever would, and I would wait at the door because I was going to greet them. I was going to show them I was going to sit with them. This was going to be so good. There was probably a little bit of pride in it, you know. But I was so ready. And do you know how heartbroken I was when they didn't show up? And you'd call them in between Sunday school and church to let them know, listen, you could still come. Church is going on. You could make it, you know. And I'll be there tonight. And so you come tonight, and you've got excited again. And you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and they don't show up. Now, I don't know how to respond to that. I guess problem, you know, should we, I mean, I don't know, should we still be excited? I've quit getting real excited because they say that. Now, if they show up, I get pretty excited. I'm glad to see them, you know. But let me tell you, so often when things get to going rough, you know what the first thing people quit? They quit coming to church. And you know what they need more than anything else at that time? They need church. There is something spiritual about church that you and I need. Listen, like I said, people don't have to make me go. I want to go. You would not believe how much I was looking forward to being in church tonight and looking out on your faces. I was so tired of looking at the rest of the faces I was dealing with today. I just wanted to come to church and see yours, you know. I almost think everybody here likes me. If you don't, you're doing pretty good at convincing me of that, you know. I mean, I was just so wanted to be at church. And when I got up to church this afternoon in my office, I really didn't just want to be in my office. I wanted to be in church with God's people. And asking prayer for one another, and Georgia giving the praise and all of that stuff. It's encouraging, lifts me up, makes me glad that I'm in church tonight. I believe when I get done here in a little while, I believe I'll go home in a lot better mood. Why? Because I've been in the sanctuary of the Lord. And it's where we need to be. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians that husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And gave himself for it. Can I tell you tonight, God loves the church and it's not the buildings. Listen, we ought to make them look as nice as we can and we ought to take care of them and stuff, but really that's not the reason we're here tonight. We are here tonight to worship him in spirit and in truth. We are here tonight to encourage each other. Listen, I need some encouraging tonight because what I was dealing with today, I got to start dealing with right after my nursing home's tomorrow. Right back at it again tomorrow. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to get up in the morning. Here's my plans. I'm going to wake up in the morning about at least by 5:30. And by 6:30, I'm going to be on a bicycle. I'm going to ride 20 miles. I'm going to go home and I'm going to take a shower. And then I'm going to go to the Heritage Woods and I'm going to preach. May even preach this message tomorrow. They might need to hear it. I don't know. You know? Going to go preach. Then I'm going to go to the Birch House and I'm going to go preach. And I'm going to go see Miss Ruby, and then I'm going to go over to the care center. Ooh, maybe not going to the care center anymore. Maybe blacklist that one, write it off. May not ever go again, you know. Just kidding. Going to the care center, going to eat lunch. Normally lunch is one of my favorite things, but tomorrow I'm dreading lunch. You know why? Because after lunch, I got to go do it again. What I got to get in, was into today, I got to get in tomorrow. But can I tell you, I'm just glad to be here. Let's just have church tomorrow afternoon. Let's just get in the sanctuary of God tomorrow afternoon and be there. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. And I only have about 7 minutes, but what did Asaph discover at the house of God? You know, I've often wondered, people say, why do we have to go to church? I said, because God tells you to. It's good for you to go to church. I can't explain. I'm just glad. I mean, I leave in a better mood. I mean, I leave encouraged and stuff, but trying to explain that to people sometimes is tough, but I find a few things that Asaph discovered in the house of the God. Number one, he realized that he had been overestimating the prosperity and happiness of the wicked. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 18. Surely thou didst set them. Who's them? The wicked that he's been talking about. You set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction. I don't find any. Listen, the Bible says God has no satisfaction in the death of a sinner. I can't believe I can't think. What's that scientist's name that died? Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking died. Didn't believe in God. How many think he believes in God today? How many thinks he wished he'd believed in God before he died? Good. Now, somebody wrote an article, put a statement out about how he believes in God, and they just attacked him because he said that. But the truth of the matter is, he does believe in God today. He knows there's a heaven, and guess what else he knows? He knows there's a hell. And listen, he knows that we don't need to colonize another planet in the next 200 years. He understands all of that stuff today. Why? Because those people, and did he prosper in his life? He had a bad disease, made the best of it, but even in his disease, he lived way longer than anybody else thought that he'd be able to live and stuff, and he prospered and died very, very wealthy and all of those things, but the Bible, he says, thou will set them in a slippery place. Listen, they're not going to get away with it. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. How are they brought unto desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Just like one of these days Jesus is coming back, and in a moment, a twinkling eye, we're going to be taken out of here, boom, it's over with. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The Bible says the rich man died in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torment. he died and lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Listen, whichever direction you go in, you're going to get there faster than you've ever been anywhere else. He said that they are brought down unto destruction. Now, we don't find pleasure in that. The Bible says they are utterly consumed with terrors. And a matter of fact, the Bible says about the rich man in Luke chapter number 16 that he was tormented in those flames. And so they're not going to get away with it. Matter of fact, do you realize the only good time that these wicked people are going to have is the time they have on earth? You know, have you ever thought about it? God in his grace and mercy, if they're not going to get saved, is letting them have some enjoyments of their eternity. You know, would you do it? I don't know that I would do it that way, but, you know, it's God's decision to do it that way. So he realized that he had been overestimating the prosperity and happiness of the wicked. There's a book and a movie out called The Count of Monte Cristo. And in the book of Count of Monte Cristo, there's a real poor guy and there's a real rich guy. His dad is a count. And the count ends up turning on his best friend. The poor guy was his best friend. Ends up turning on him. The guy goes to prison and all this other stuff. And when the guy broke loose before he went to prison and went running to him, and he found out that his friend turned him in, and he said, "Why did you do this?" And he said this. He said this, "Because I should not want to be you." Listen, here's what he said. "I've got everything. You have nothing. And yet I desire to be you," because you know what he had? It was a movie. But he had a good life. He enjoyed life. It wasn't about the things of life, you know? And listen, I really believe there's a lot of wicked people out there who are not, I mean, rich people who, you think that all the rich people are happy? Nice. Well, if they are, they sure don't show it well, do they? I mean, I got one news site I go to find out what's going on in Hollywood, what's happening to all the actors and stuff, just to find out how unhappy they are, you know? I mean, good night. The NFL football players, you know, I was reading about that one guy who killed his wife. And then they had a memorial to the football players of all the ones that died. And they showed that one. He committed suicide in prison, had murdered his girlfriend, and they showed his picture on the screen. I'm like, heaven help us. Why are we honoring him? I don't think they're happy. I think they pretend to be happy. I think the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. I believe they have some pleasures, and I believe sometimes they look like they're happy. Listen, David came to know there is something better than material prosperity. The Bible says that it's not in the abundance of a thing which a man possesses that brings him happiness. Listen, is anything wrong with having some things? Absolutely not. But if you think those things will bring you happiness, you're going to find out something real quick, because they'll always come out with a new version. They have baseball bats now. They change them every year. Well, I don't want that one. It's last year's model. What? Baseball bats. Benny, didn't we use the same baseball bats our whole life? Yeah, you know, it's just crazy. You know, I mean, bicycle, everything comes out with a new one the next year. He came to realize there's some things better than material prosperity. He came to realize how blessed he was. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 23. He says this, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." Who's thee? The Lord. "I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand." Listen, he said, I well nigh slipped. But guess what was happening when he well nigh slipped? God was holding. Mind you, the poem about the footprints in the sand, you know? Yeah. "Lord, those times when I needed you most, why did you desert me?" He says, "Those were the times I carried you," you know? So he came to realize how blessed he was. Listen, he even admitted in verse number 22, he said, "So foolish was I and ignorant," because he thought that the wicked had it better than he did. But that's because he was focusing on today. Can I tell you something? I am so glad there's a heaven. I'm more glad there's a heaven today than I was yesterday. You say, why? Yesterday wasn't a bad day, you know? But today, man, today, Praise God, there is a heaven. Praise God, there is a way out. Praise God, we won't go through this for the rest of our life. You do know that when we get into heaven and we're transformed in the twinkling of an eye, stupidity will be done away with, praise God. There are no stupid people in heaven, hallelujah. We won't have to deal with it. David came to realize how blessed he was. I am continually with them. You know, I like what Solomon said. Solomon said this, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. I'd rather die dead broke and knowing I'd serve God and live for God than to die with all the things of the world. I wish I could remember. I read one time when Charles Haddon Spurgeon died, he had about $2.64 to his name. You know what he did with all of his money? He gave it back to God. His wife, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, pastored the largest church in London. 10,000 people every week, week in, week out. 10,000 people come. She raises chickens and sells eggs, Miss Diane. Somebody asked her one time, could she have some eggs? She said, no. They thought she was selfish. She said, no, you can't have any of these eggs. And the reason she bought those chicks and raised those eggs for one reason, every egg that she bought, she sold, and every egg that she sold, the money went to help some young man go to college to become a preacher. You know, that's what they were dedicated for and was there for. Listen, didn't dial that way. Listen, I read a story recently where an infidel was talking to a deacon, and the infidel said this, I planted my wheat on Sunday, I mowed it on Sunday, and I made a better crop than anyone else in the country. And the deacon answered back, said, yes, neighbor, I watched you do that. But may I remind you, God doesn't pay off in full in the fall. Listen, there's a greater harvest coming sometime. You know, there's a greater, and that's the way we need to look at things. God does not pay off fully while we are down here. The rewards that we are earning are in heaven. Yes, God will bless us and help us in those things. And then the last thing this evening, David discovered that the prosperity of the wicked was a fleeting moment. Like Moses. Moses chose to forsake the pleasures of sin for a season. It's just for a season that they will enjoy it. He learned something. He learned something through the sanctuary. He learned that God was close to him. I'll close with this story. Read a story of a preacher who was visiting somewhere one time, and this family put him up in the house for the night, and he was in his room, and there was a bad storm come through. And he said he was right next door to the little girl's room, and said that storm came through, and the thunder started, and the house was shaking, and said the little girl said, Daddy, Daddy, said you could hear the bed spring squeak, and Daddy got up and walked in there and said, yes, sweetheart, what can I do for you? She said, Daddy, would you hold my hand? And it got kind of quiet, and all of a sudden she said, Daddy, I'm not afraid of the storm anymore. Because she was holding her daddy's hand. Listen, when we realize how close God is to us, that ought to calm us in the times of storm. And realize we can touch him. Listen, I hope you're not at the place where your feet are well nigh asleep. But if it is, can I tell you what you keep doing? What you know to do. And in this passage of Scripture tonight, the emphasis on, until I went unto the sanctuary of God. Keep on doing what you need to do. Would you stand tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Listen, if you're here tonight and you don't know if you're saved or not, if you'd like to talk to us, we'll be around for a little while after.